essentially show a majority of them being at the full professor rank. So there could be essentially two reasons for this, or a combination of these two reasons. One reason is that there has been more hiring recently of underrepresented faculty members, leading to a larger representation at the assistant professor rank. The other reason, and that's good, the other reason can be that actually we're not doing a good job at retaining these underrepresented faculty members, meaning that we hire them at the assistant professor level, but for some reason they leave. Either they don't earn tenure or they're recruited by another institution. So we wanted to look a little bit further into that. Sorry, I'm having problems with the slides here. Yes, so this is the slide actually I wanted to show you originally, and this shows the breakdown between the minority faculty members, between African-American and Hispanic in terms of percentage over time. Again, percentages in italics and the numbers on top are the absolute numbers. You can see that there's been a significant increase in the percentage of both African-American and Hispanic faculty members at the, actually at really at the two campuses of Urbana-Champaign and Chicago. The numbers in Springfield are very small, but they've had growth in Hispanics as well. So when you add up these two numbers, let's say in 2011, you get numbers around 10 to 11%. So that's the good news. I would also point to the fact that there has been an erosion, a decrease in number of total tenure system faculty at the two campuses, actually a very significant one, at Urbana over a 20-year period.
I followed that other slide, how you, where we're trying to total to 100, but on this one, like if you look at Urbana-Champaign and go down 2011.
This one or the previous one?
Right where you are right now. So 4.5%.
Oh, because not all the categories are included. You also have Asian Americans. You also have. You also have Native Americans, which are very small. So yes, yeah, it would be the difference is the other categories.
Because that gets us to about 80%.
Yeah, yeah. I have all the data. There's other categories which are not. I wanted to highlight the minority faculty here. Yes, especially African American and Hispanic. That's right. That's correct. They would add up to about 20%. Yeah.
One other question?
There is also some who are not U.S. citizens yet, and so on. So they're not classified according to race or ethnicity.
Yeah, that was, I think, going to be my question. So under the Hispanic category, it's a really broad category, to understand how many of those folks are international and how many of them are kind of U.S. native Hispanics, that kind of thing?
I think if they are international, they're not included, although I'm not completely sure, but over time, usually over a few years, they do become U.S. citizens, typically, or at least permanent residents. Yeah. So they would, in fact, be, once they become permanent residents or U.S. citizens, they would be included in those numbers. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'm not sure that how, I think at a future presentation we could dig in a little deeper.
Yeah, you actually make a good point, especially when we look at PhDs earned, and there's a very large number of them that come from non-residents, non-U.S. citizens. Okay. I want to talk about the pipeline for these underrepresented minority faculty. So I wanted to look at the number of PhDs because this is really a recruitment pool. We recruit from essentially recent students who have earned doctorates. So here at the bottom left,